Okay, that's Hadleys, plural. What gets more confusing in the Northeast District is we're both J. Hadley. So, okay. I got another shirt that says J.J. Hadley to make the distinction. So you're probably wondering, like, what are we doing here this morning? Today is National Faith and Blue Weekend. Have you heard of that before? So let me read this. National Faith and Blue Weekend upholds the belief that law enforcement and faith institutions are key pillars of the community. You believe that? Yes. When they work together, neighborhoods become safer places to live. When there is mutual respect, communities thrive. So we are very, proud in the right way to work with the Baltimore City Police Department, Northeast District. And we have the privilege of riding along with the officers. And usually we ride a whole shift. And we go where they go, and we're there with them at their side. We're kind of like always looking for opportunities to minister. We are not police officers. We are police chaplains and community chaplains. So we just, what we do is we're always praying, aren't we, Jim?
Yes.
Like, we go into a situation, and the first thing is let the police do their work, but then just be looking like, okay, Lord, here we are. You know, where's the door? Who can we minister to? You know, show us. And so often it is just, you know, nothing short of glorious what ends up happening. So it's really great. So we would like to pray for the Baltimore police officers and law enforcement across the country. Very necessary. How many of you, if you call for police services, would be very happy that they showed up? Isn't that a good thing? And they're there to serve and protect. Yes, we know there have been bad police officers, but my testimony, and Jim can speak for himself, this is my seventh year doing this, and I've ridden with over 50 police officers, some many, many, many times, some of whom have been here to our cafe because they can get a free meal at our cafe. It's a little incentive to get them into the church. And some have made it into the chapel, so that's a great thing. So we want to pray for them. And if you want, if you are in law enforcement, if you would like to stand, we would like to honor you. So if you're in law enforcement and you want to stand, then please do. Okay. Either they don't want to or they're not here. All right. Jim, before we pray, would you like to? Pastor Jim?
Yeah, we just want to say, yeah, just quickly, that we do have such a great time with the guys, and we do have some of the lady officers once in a while. But we just really build up the church here, and even along, you know, sometimes when we're out, we do run into some of you folks. We have. I actually pulled over my son for... I was with an officer, and I'll just be real quick, and we pulled him over, Jack. And I went up to the door, and I asked him for his license and registration. That was the highlight of my... God does have a sense of humor. We have...
Jack didn't look too happy about that.
I think I had him at the beginning. He kind of looked at me. I said, Jack, this, you know, of course. But anyways, it really is an honor. We represent you folks. We represent you out there. And we do. God, my wife always says, you should keep a log of the stories that we had, things that happen are pretty amazing. So yeah, we thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Okay, so let's pray. Father, we do thank you. And we do know, Lord, that being, and just like anything else, it's a call. And so we do pray, Father, for just the whole tenor, tone in our country of law enforcement, that you could somehow just turn this around and bring it back to the way it used to be, with just honor and respect. Most of the officers, they really just come into work, do their jobs, just want to go home to their families, and they don't want to get involved with all the different things that are happening. We pray Father, for a change. And really, this change can only come from you. We can try to fix things, but this is a spiritual issue. This is really a kingdom issue. We pray that through prayer and humility that we can just, this can be, there can be a change. So we pray we just cover in our city, all the 9 districts, Lord, and in our country, state police, all the different agencies, Father. And for those of us that have children that are in law enforcement, we just thank you that you are faithful. Thank you. Thank you for this church and for Pastor Shallow, the covering that we receive. So we do have the liberty and freedom to serve because we have a covering that is behind us. So we thank you. Bless this day. We thank you, Father. We love you for your faithfulness. Bless each one this morning that is here. We're all part of this together. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Yes, we are in the Father's house, aren't we? It's awesome to be here. And my wife, Natalia, and son, Daniel, extend their love and greetings from California. So let's turn our Bibles to Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 38. Father, we ask that you just bless these words now. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Okay, Luke 10, 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, the story goes on, but I want to stop there because I just want to focus really on this verse and this concept of just sitting at Jesus' feet and what that means, okay? So I jotted 7 things down on what I... And I'm sure there's many, many more, but 7 things that came to mind as what it means to sit at Jesus' feet. Number one, it is a place of holiness. When you are sitting and listening earnestly and really receiving God's word and partaking of it, you are on holy ground. It is a place of holiness. And it's to be revered and respected. Leviticus 20:26 states, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and has severed you from other people, that you should be mine." Next, being at Jesus' feet is a place of godly wisdom. So do you really want real wisdom in life? And for your situations, you need to sit at Jesus' feet because that's where you really get true wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding." And then James 1:5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men," what? Liberally. That's right. God wants to give you and impart his wisdom to you. Number 3, it's a place of discipleship. When you sit at Jesus' feet, it's not just being a student or a servant or just a student in the class. No, you are making an investment by being at his feet. You are really, you know, actively seeking him and being a follower of him. It's investing in the relationship that you have in Jesus. As we heard Pastor Matt this morning in John 15, you know, Jesus said, "I call you not servants, I have called you friends." Number 4, sitting at Jesus' feet is a place of love. You know, there is no one who can love you as much as Jesus Christ. No one. And, you know, there are people in our family and our circles that that can love you. Yes, they love you, but no one can love you like Jesus. And, you know, you just need to let him love you. And then Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Love of Christ. And then verse 38:39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Number five, it's a place of protection and strength. Can you imagine just being at Jesus' feet and he's covering you? It's a place of protection and strength. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 3, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Number 6, it's a place of grace and mercy. Some people think, oh, I can't, I just can't come. I'm not worthy enough. I can't. Who am I? I can't. Do you even know what I've done? Do you know my past? And Jesus says, no, please. There's a place right here for you. I love you. Please come. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us boldly come unto the throne of grace, that we obtain what? Mercy? And to find what? Grace. To obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. And lastly, being at Jesus' feet is a place of peace. I don't know what any of you are going through, or maybe you've gone through trials, or maybe there's, you know, obviously there's things that come up in life, but the only place where you really will find peace is when you come to the feet of Jesus. Because Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace. He is our peace. And then Philippians 4:6-7, it's worth reading. Be careful, or some translations say anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I can go on. Obviously, there's so many benefits to being at the feet of Jesus, but I'm thankful that we are in a ministry where we can be at the feet of Jesus every single day. It's just amazing how we can listen in, whether it's services here, Grace Hour, the Bible school, the classrooms here, GGCA, etc. There's so many ways where you can just be at the feet of Jesus and hear what he has for you. Amen.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Chung. Pastor, wow, to be a doctor and a pastor, whoa. That's most importantly a humble servant at the feet of Jesus, right? For all of us. So, instead of moving like to the next speaker, I think we should like process what we just heard. And just turn to your neighbor and come up with as many of those 7 points that you can, or stay on one and talk for a few minutes to your neighbor about it. What did you just hear? Hey, did you come to church to be learn something and be able to put it in your mouth? There's a proverb that says, your words, Lord, are fitted in my mouth. And to learn to talk these things and speak of the things that are above to escape hell below. Isn't that good? learn also how to talk to yourself, too. But anyway, we got a great message there. How many points can you come up with? Talk to your neighbor, even to somebody you don't know who's sitting next to you. I've sat next to somebody I didn't know, so I'm like sitting like that. I look at the, I don't know. I don't know them. I'm looking at my shoes. Okay, we are family. Meet somebody you don't know. Talk for a few minutes. Come up with the 7 points or one or two of them that spoke to your heart. Okay, our next speaker is Pastor Steve DeVries was a missionary in China, and he with Pat. Were you with Pastor Gary Grunwald in the beginning?
No.
You went to high school together.
Yeah.
Did you get in trouble together? He and Pastor Gary were at the principal office many times in high school. There he is. And Pastor Steve was a missionary in South Korea. He planted a church, a Greater Grace Church there in South Korea. And now he's in Lexington, Kentucky. And he wants to start a church in Lexington. So we'll be praying for him for that. So welcome him.
Good morning. Welcome from where, Oliver?
Yeah.
Kentucky. That's good. Yeah, so I was in China with Pastor Gary, but actually he was with me. It wasn't the other way around. So okay, just a quick thought, but I think an amazing picture that I just recently studied like a week ago in the Bible. Isn't the Bible amazing? The Bible is so amazing. The deep, like people who study it, like know it in a shallow form, just like they think, oh, it's not really worth much. People discard it, but you dig in and you study it and you're serious about it, it is infinite in its revelation of God to us. So just an example. So Dr. Chung mentioned his second to last point. He quoted Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. How many of you know that passage? Like that, if you don't know that passage, this afternoon, spend some time and memorize it. Start in verse 12. But this verse, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You've studied through Hebrews, you might have recognized there's a few nautical terms in the book of Hebrews, like there's mention of an anchor, there's a mention of lest we drift away, we must take more careful heed to the things we heard. Anyway, in this verse, I was surprised to find there's a nautical term here. It's hidden in English, but I want to show it to you, because I think it gives an amazing picture. Okay, let's go to Acts 27, shipwreck. Paul is sailing to Rome, and they're about to have a shipwreck. And in here is a description of Hebrews 4:16. Acts 27, we'll just start in verse 14. It says this, but not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird. This is New King James, right? So they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Sirtis sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. Anyway, how many have the good old King James? What's it say? How does it describe the cables? It says helps. They put helps. And this is the picture. Like when they know they may shipwreck, they may be driven into a sandbar, they would literally take these heavy ropes, these cables, and put them, drag them and put them underneath the bow of the ship all the way back and cinch them up to hold the timbers together. So when you strike the sand, the waves are hitting, these helps, they hold the ship together. Now picture that's your life. Your life is that ship. The plan of God leads us into times, into storms, into tempestuous difficulties. And you're about to lose your life. It's about to be torn apart. Everything is collapsing. Anyone ever been there? Feel like that anyway? And that same word there for this helps, these cables, these ropes undergirding the bottom of the ship, undergirding the belly of your life, is the same word help in Hebrews 4:16. So have that picture in your mind. Let's go back now to Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help, to pull me together, like to hold me together. And if I don't receive this help, my ship busts up in my time of need. And I just think it's an amazing, beautiful picture. Like the plan of God. Well, actually, if you read the whole story, Paul warned, let's not go. We better not go. But the centurion listened to the owner of the ship and the other, you know, the sailors, let's go. The wind is right now. But after they left, the storm came up. Even if it was a wrong decision, but it's not too late to come boldly to the throne of grace. I made the wrong decision. I messed up. Now I'm in big trouble. It's not too late to come boldly to the throne of grace. He is ready. He is ready to provide. He's ready to cinch us up. He's ready to hold us together. And there is no other help but Him. Last verse, Hebrews 13, verse 6. It's the same, a little bit different form, the same word. Let's start in verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is the Lord. He is the cables. He is the ropes. He is my helper, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen.